We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Bite.
Welcome to Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. Here's your host, Todd McKim.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Thanksgiving Day edition of Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. A lot to talk about this week in a condensed week for the Bears. Stanford coming up on Friday. We'll be on the air with the tailgate show, the Bud Light tailgate show, beginning at 12:30 with a kickoff around 1:35, 1:40, somewhere in there. But 1:35, you can count on that being the earliest time for the kickoff, is the Bears in the 123rd big game against the Stanford Cardinal. And for the first time in a decade, the Bears are holding the axe and hope to maintain possession of the axe through Friday. A little bit later on, we'll hear from Mark Fox, his team officially on the road to open this season against Oregon State, as it turns out, in Corvallis in a non-conference game, and then another game on Thursday against Northwest University. We'll get Mark's thoughts about his team as they get ready to open up what should be an interesting season in more cases than one. But first of all, football and the big game coming up. Head coach Justin Wilcox joining us now. And Justin, first of all, had a chance to look at the tape, but you're already deep into preparation for the big game as well. As you look back at the Oregon State contest and watching the tape, what were your thoughts?
Well, we were much improved from the week prior. Unfortunately, that doesn't get you, it doesn't guarantee you a win. And I think we played stretches of the game where we played pretty well. It was the critical errors that were the difference. And I think if you look at the three phases defensively, we had 2 one-play drives. I mean, obviously starting with the first play of the game. And those two plays really were the difference between playing a pretty good defensive game and one where we ended up giving up more points than we should have. Special teams wise, the punt team, you know, obviously getting the one blocked and having a couple other issues with coverage and putting our defense on a short field about 3 times. That was pretty tough. And then the 2 returns for touchdowns that were ended up called back were certainly critical in the outcome of the game there. And offensively, I thought we did some good things early, first half, moving the ball down the field and scoring it. We had a couple more chances in the red zones where we'd like to get touchdowns. And then in the third quarter, we just, for whatever reason, we kind of lost our rhythm a little bit and then picked up the rhythm in the fourth, but we felt like we could have scored in the second half like we did in the first. And so ultimately, while there was progress, we just had too many critical errors to win the game.
Well, you can see some improvement in a number of different areas. And the one area that struck me was you had a little more than 24 hours to prepare to play another football game without another one of your groups, basically, your offensive line. You're missing three starters. Then Mike Saffell went out with an injury in the second quarter. So basically down four starters in the offensive line. And yet you're able to get over 400 yards of offense. As you look at that young group, those puppies in the offensive line, how did they do?
I thought they competed really hard. And I thought, considering the circumstance, you know, they wouldn't make excuses for themselves, nor would we. But boy, I was proud of how they came out and competed. Really hadn't played much at all, many of them. And for them to go out and play like that. And, you know, the game wasn't too big for them. I thought they handled it really well on the sideline, communicating through some of the issues. And they had a ton of stuff to clean up and things that they can do better. But really pleased with how those guys responded in a pretty unique circumstance.
You had a big game from Chase Garbers. He had the two picks. You know, one of those, he's just trying to make a play on the fourth and goal from the two. He's just trying to make something happen. And then the last one, the tip ball, that's just unfortunate. Not only that it's tipped, but it goes, pops up in the air where they got a bunch of guys that can get it. Other than that, he performed much better than the week before. And you got some chunk plays in this game as well. You always talked about explosion plays on offense and turnovers making the difference in football games. So you finally got some of those big chunk game plays.
Yeah, we did. And I think it was great to see some of those. Chase, he did. He threw the ball much better. I thought that was evident. Had some really nice throws down the field, fades and crossing routes. I mean, he hit different guys, got different people involved. The tight end, it was involved in the pass game. So I thought that was a big step, which was great to see. The turnovers were unfortunate in the red zone there. And I know there's a couple plays that he could even look back and probably, you know, play a little bit better. And then I think some of the guys on offense just making some of those bigger plays, you know, Kekoa Crawford, Makai Polk, Jake Ton just had a good day. Marcel Dance, he did some good things. Nico, especially in the return game, and we're going to continue to work to get him more involved in the passing game. For whatever reason, it just, the ball didn't come to him up there, but he's a guy that we definitely want to get more and more involved. So there were some positives, and ultimately the win-loss column is the one that we all, you know, are concerned with, and we just had a few too many mistakes across the board to get that done.
Yeah, Kekoa Crawford had a career day by multiple fold as far as catching balls. Was it just he was the guy available, he was the guy that was open, or was there something in the game plan that you guys thought he's got a chance to have a big day?
I think it's a little bit of, you know, both. I think he's done some good things this camp. He's in better shape and conditioning. He's moving around quicker, and he's been consistent throughout the fall of making plays out of practice. So it showed up in the game. And then, you know, for whatever reason, sometimes the coverage dictates the ball goes to certain places, and he had the chance to make those plays, and he did. And so, again, we're excited to see that. I mean, we think Kekoa's got a lot of ability, and we're going to continue to try and get him the ball in different ways. And as I mentioned before, there's some other guys that we think can do some really good things too, and we'll work to get them the ball as well.
All right, it's big game week. It's always an exciting week. It's, in this case, a shortened week based on the schedule. This is the rival week for the Pac-12 North Division, and we're going to play two out of the three games. The Apple Cup got canceled. Washington State unable to play that. So we've got well, it used to be called the Civil War. I don't know if they have a name for that anymore because they've had a change up there. But anyway, Oregon at Oregon State. You've got Stanford. Short week, intensity, efficiency are really important. Tell us about condensing the schedule a little bit for practice and turning around and playing a game on Friday afternoon.
Yeah, we'll do it just like we did last week. And we basically lose our Monday our 5 day out preparation day is cut, and then we go right from post game to a 4 day out. And so that's kind of how we have everything. We look at when the game's played, and then we count back. And so we jumped right into our 4 day out practice yesterday. We'll be in our 3 day out practice today. And I thought the guys did a really good job. And you mentioned the key word there is efficiency, you know, meetings, practice, making sure we're getting exactly what we need. You know, hopefully everybody's going to be available to play, and we just got to be judicious with our practice time and meeting time to make sure we're getting the most out of it.
You have to give the players at least one day off. So this week, is it Saturday? Is the day off? Okay. So that's how that works. Talk about Stanford. What have you seen from them? They're 0-2, tough opening loss at Oregon, where they did not have the services of their quarterback, Davis Mills. Unfortunately, he had a test that ended up being incorrect, but they had to keep him out of the game, so he didn't play against Oregon. He did play against Colorado, almost brought him back in that ball game. They were down pretty big to the Buffaloes, and they rallied and barely lost that one at the end. What do you see from the Cardinal?
You know, kind of what we've come to expect. They're going to be big and physical on the lines. They got a really good runner. The quarterback's a very talented thrower. He's a good football player. And then they got some good wideouts and a tight end that they like a lot and get involved. So different personnel groupings, you know, like we've seen in the past from Stanford, you know, they'll use one tight end, two tight ends. They'll get to 22. They have a lot of different personnel groupings, which, you know, there's more variables when you're trying to prepare defensively. And then their defense, you know, kind of like we had talked before, big guys up front, really active physical linebackers. They got a couple new cover guys in the secondary who are very talented. So they've recruited well for a long time, and they do a good job of developing players over there. And so we know it'll be a great challenge for us, but everybody's going to be excited. It is a big game. It's Friday. It's 2020, so it'll be unique and different, but it doesn't minimize the magnitude of this game for all of us.
It looks like in the last year plus, Stanford, which had for a long time, and still to some extent still is right now, I mean, run, pound the football, and just try to wear you out. Does it look like they've changed to more of a passing philosophy? And you look at their stats, and it's only two games, but they're averaging 133 yards rushing the football and 223 passing. Now, when you're behind in a game, you got to pass the football. But even last year, it looks like they're throwing the football and trying to take advantage of what appears to be a really good group of wide receivers and a quarterback that can get it downfield.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. And sometimes those game-to-game circumstances might sway the statistics a bit, but they have. One thing that they've always done, and I think Coach Shaw does a good job of, is, you know, kind of maximizing the talents of their players on the team. And so last year they were in some lighter groups, and you still see some of that this year because I think, you know, they really do like those wideouts, which there's good reason for that. So they still have those, you know, bigger groupings that they'll get into, maybe not as much as they used to, but heck, who knows? I mean, I think, you know, each game's a little bit different, and the way the game goes can drive that some. So we've got to prepare for what they put on tape and have answers for things that come up during the game.
When's the last time you saw the axe?
Oh, that's a good question. I guess it would have been prior to, let's see, the rally squad, they have it, or they're in charge of it. But I think we saw it in shelter in place. Shelter in place. Yeah, it's been a while.
Okay. You know, the reaction in the locker room, on the field, the fans that were there from Cal just rushed the field. It was like a sight that we haven't seen for seemingly ever. Did that carry over all year long? I mean, as far as that excitement and knowing that now for the first time in a long time, you're trying to hold on to the X rather than try to get it back.
Yeah. For those that were there, you know, a lot of our team was, there's, you know, 20 plus guys that weren't there. But for the guys that were there, everybody recognizes how special a moment that was and the emotion involved with winning that game. So we've spoke about that. They're well aware. We put so much emphasis on our preparation from week to week, and it's no different this week, but it is important that they, you know, they feel that energy of the big game, even though it's 2020 and there won't be fans there. I know our team appreciates that.
And what will it be like for you to have the comforts of playing the game at Memorial Stadium? They've been on the road for the first two games. And so now you get to go back to somewhat of a normal routine. I mean, not totally, because you can't use the locker room and you've got to do different things at halftime, but at least you got the comfort surroundings of, you know, some cutout faces behind the bench. The axe is going to be behind the bench as well. At least there's some familiarity this week.
Yeah, I know they are. I know our team is glad to have a chance to play on our home turf. And although the fans won't be with us in the stadium, we know they'll be watching. And I know our players are glad to be home and not be on the road this week, even though it is a short trip over. It's nice to be here in our home stadium.
Yeah, and the unfortunate thing in this current situation is you can't get everybody together to have a Thanksgiving meal. You got to give them a box lunch or whatever it happens to be. I assume it'll be a turkey sandwich with some cranberries and so forth. But that's unfortunate that you can't get together with your team, and the teammates can't get together with family as well. And so that makes it a little bit different too.
Yeah, it is. And as we all know, working through this, it's just there's things that we don't have control over, and that's one of them. I don't know. Sometimes we don't maybe acknowledge enough, especially in team sport, how important that is. Just being around the guys in the locker room, being around them in the dining hall, having those moments together off the field where you're engaging with your teammates, players with each other, players and coaches, to build that camaraderie and chemistry. And this is just not a year that we're able to do that. So we have to do our best with, the circumstances that we have, and we're working on that, but we'll get them a to-go box and try and make it as good as we possibly can for them on Thursday, and look forward to next year being able to sit down with each other, hopefully, and enjoy a more traditional Thanksgiving feast.
Well, I guess there'll be plenty of time for people to watch the Macy's Day Parade, which is kind of interesting to have a parade without people on the streets as well, but that's a different topic for a different person to talk about. So, Coach, have a good week of practice. Enjoy Thanksgiving as best you can, and we'll talk to you prior to the game on Friday against Stanford.
All right. Thanks, Todd. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too. Of course, the oldest rivalry in the West Coast, Stanford and Cal. Once again, renewing for the 123rd time, Friday. We'll be on the air at 12:30 with the Bud Light tailgate show, and then the kickoff at about 1:35. Joining us now is head basketball coach Mark Fox. Been an interesting ride up and down a roller coaster. I last saw you in person last March after you defeated Stanford in the Pac-12 tournament. We saw you the next day when I was getting ready to go to the airport when we found out the tournament was canceled. Seems like a bazillion years ago, and a lot has happened between then and now, but it's good to see you again. Is there anything in the coaching manual that has guided you on how to handle what's transpired the last 8 months?
You know, that really is an interesting way to look at it. I would say yes.
Okay.
I would say yes, because I think our focus has always been, let's take care of our players. And so we've tried to use that as a guiding principle to make sure that, you know, one, that they're safe; two, they're in a good mental place; three, that they're able to continue to work on their education. And then, you know, way down the line, you get to basketball. But I do think that we've tried to keep their well-being at the forefront, and as you always do in coaching. And so, from that standpoint, you know, yes, there was something in the manual that allowed us to operate with that kind of guiding us. But everything after that has been uncharted waters, and it changed hourly for many months. Then it changed daily for a couple months, and seems like now it might be back to changing hourly. But it's really been an unbelievable experience.
It's been difficult for your players in the off season to try to stay in shape, try to improve their skills. I know you've mentioned for individuals like Lars and some of the other guys who are true freshmen, Joel, the biggest area of improvement and the time period is going to be between their first and second years. And unfortunately for a lot of people, that just isn't going to happen. And you hope to get back to as close as you can to what you were at the end of last year, I think, with a lot of these guys skill-wise. But what have you been able to do? I know you have had practices. Some of the ones I've seen on video by the video department you put together, I see you out there with a spray bottle. You're wiping off, the standards. You're spraying the basketballs. I mean, what has that been like?
Well, no team in America was able to have spring workouts. I mean, we all had to sacrifice our normal spring workouts because of the pandemic. But a lot of teams across the country were able to have a normal summer. There's a lot of teams that were able to have a normal summer in their facilities, shooting, working on their skills, lifting in their weight rooms. We didn't have that either. Okay. So we gave up the spring and the summer, and then just about everybody had a normal fall. But we did not have that either. We were outside on the tennis court for much of the fall. And we didn't have our team together as one until October 17th. And for our first practice. And so, that very important off season that you mentioned, those kids lost a lot of it, and they didn't get a chance to make 10,000 shots with the coach watching them and working on technique. It's time that was missed, and you can't replace the work. I mean, the magic is in the work, and so we're just gonna have to keep grinding from the point where we are today, and over time, hopefully, we'll get back to where we thought we one day could be. But there's no question that our development's a little bit behind where it would have been had there not been a pandemic. I think our team's a little bit behind where we had been had there not been such restrictions. But, we are where we are, and we're going to try and make the most of it.
What about conditioning? I mean, it's one thing to run up hills and do this and that and maybe get some kind of at least cardio. But basketball conditioning is not about just running 3 miles. It's stop and start and jumping and sliding and going backwards and sideways, et cetera, et cetera. How do you try to compensate for the loss of doing that in the short period of time that you've had with the team?
Well, the one thing about our sport, I believe that basketball players have to be in the greatest shape of anyone on our campus. And we've got an unbelievable swimming program, and we've got some great athletes here, world-class athletes. But in our sport, you have to be, cardiovascularly in great shape. But there's also contact, and that contact and ability to wrestle in the paint and play defense and stop somebody, that adds a whole nother level of conditioning. And that's the one thing that, we were not able to have contact, for over 6 months. And so that's a long time in between blockouts so our conditioning, we were behind when we started. We did the best that we could to keep them, to keep them safe as we transitioned them back into some conditioning, to condition their joints and soft tissues so we could avoid injury. And then, we had a little 8-day shutdown, right after we started practice and the kids went into isolation, and that was not good because, they weren't able to exercise like we had. We had started to make a little progress. And so we took a step back, but we've come through it now, and I don't know if we're quite in game shape, but we got a couple guys that are looking more and more like it. But it's really been a strategic approach from our medical people and our strength staff to make sure we get them back in game shape, but also do it in a way and in a progression that allows them to stay healthy.
Got no question about it. Are you able to use your locker room?
No locker room, no film room, no meeting room. It's old school around here right now.
What are you out on the balcony there at Haas Pavilion looking over the baseball field? Where can you go to do anything like that?
We have done a couple film sessions on the Jumbotron in Haas.
Oh, okay.
But most everything we do is via virtually. We do it via Zoom, and you come in your practice gear and you go home in your practice gear. So I don't think we'll have locker room use all year. That just makes it a little bit cumbersome to participate. But you know what? I think these guys, having had the game taken away from them last spring, I think that they're willing to make any sacrifice that they need to right now just so we can play the games.
Yeah, you had a little momentum at the end of last year, won 4 of the last 7, defeated Stanford in the tournament. We were really looking forward to the game against UCLA in the tournament as well, because that was an interesting game during the regular season, the one time we had the opportunity. But talk a little bit about, I mean, scheduling. How in the world, Mark, can you put a schedule together? I mean, we've just seen over this past weekend, left and right, teams are dropping out, and it affected you as well this week with the Colorado State team that you're supposed to play on a Wednesday, and they had to bow up because they had to shut down their programming. How in the world? I mean, the one I want to say good thing is that we were already scheduled to have a 20-game conference season, so it makes it a little easier within the confines of those 20 games to come up with some kind of a schedule. But the non-conference has just been unbelievable. How have you managed to do that?
That's taken a great deal of patience. and we know it's going to be a situation where, you know, next week we may lose an opponent and have to find one later. I mean, we're going to have to just patch this thing together throughout the year. It's constantly changing. It's taken a lot of phone calls and a lot of people working to just try and, you know, you keep trying to find a new path forward, you know, we were in an event in Kansas City, which when the dates changed, we were booted from that event. Then we tried to get in ESPN events in Florida. Those ended up being canceled. Then we had a lot of conversations with other places, and then you still have to meet the testing protocols. And that's just for your MTE. That doesn't even mention the non-league games that you lost that you have to reschedule and try and find. And so it's been a real challenge, and not one that's completely done yet either. I mean, I think it'll be something throughout the rest of the year that we're trying to manage and hope that we can get enough games in to have what we think is a complete season.
I mean, we're scheduled to open up conference play actually next week, Arizona State, UCLA. I mean, who knows if anybody's going to have games before that. Arizona State's had some problems with their non-conference because Baylor had to back out of a tournament that they were supposed to play Arizona State. That was going to be their opener. So it's just going to be one of those things where you have to persevere through this all and literally do it day by day. Let's talk about some of your personnel. First of all, Matt Bradley, recognized, I think, not only around the conference, just starting to get recognition around the country as well, named first team preseason Pac-12, also an honoree for the Jerry West Award. He's on that watch list as well. Where do you see him picking up here? This is third year.
Well, Matt's had a, you know, really last year, I thought he really finished year on a pace that would allow him to really, really this year, you know, come into the season just like he has with the expectation to be an all-league player. He's worked hard to become a more complete player. He's a little bigger, stronger, but more functional. You know, he's practiced well, and I think that you know, none of these kids are enjoying online school and not having their friends around and all the restrictions. But, you know, so there's some days where they get frustrated, but, you know, Matt loves to play, loves to compete, and, you know, we're anticipating and looking forward to a big year, you know, from him, because he's a gifted scorer and he's a gifted competitor and a great kid. So we're excited about, you know, the kind of year we think he can have.
Point guard position, Paris Austin gone. That means that Joel Brown gets a little bit more of the responsibility at that spot. Mikhail Foreman, that you recruited, graduate transfer, maybe can help in that spot as well. What have you seen from Joel so far?
Well, Joel has had a really mature start to the year. You know, that last summer would have been it would have been such an impactful experience to be in a gym shooting with Joel. And so he's improved his shooting, and I'm pleased with his progress. I think that he came into the year knowing that was an area he needed to improve, and he's worked on it. We've got some work yet to do, but he's improved as a shooter, but his maturity on the court as a floor leader, as someone that can be consistent, he's really taken a step forward there. So really pleased with how he's come into practice and hope that he can continue to show progress as he grows throughout his sophomore year.
Brought in a couple of guys that look like they have the ability to knock down shots from distance. Ryan Bentley, a young man from, you know, the Ivy League that played really well, comes in as a three-point marksman. We mentioned Foreman as well. He he shot an incredible amount of three-pointers prior to his being at Cal when he was at his previous stops. Do you feel confident those guys can spread the court a little bit more so that you can do some different things offensively?
Well, I think the one thing that we want, we know coming into this year, we needed to be a better three-point shooting team. And I think that obviously there's a couple of ways to address that: work with the guys that you have, and then recruit guys who can shoot. And so, you know, we've been able to bring in a couple guys that we feel like are good shooters. They have to learn a new system and get comfortable in it, confident in it. But once they do, I think they'll be able to help address that part of the stat sheet for us. But it'll allow us to hopefully be a more complete offensive team and allow us to execute better, create a little bit more space for our interior guys and hopefully be a more complete and efficient offensive basketball team.
They've got Grant back and Tisevic who can knock down the three-pointer. And then you've got three guys in the middle with Andre Kelly, Thorpe, and Lars Thiemann that, again, you saw some improvement last year from Andre. You could see Thorpe getting better late in the year. Lars, did he have more of an opportunity to do more things when he went back home to maybe speed up his development a little bit more?
Well, Lars and Demetrius both had probably about a month, maybe 5 weeks of the ability to train that our American players didn't have. They didn't get the full summer in Europe, but they had more than we did. But those three guys, I think all of them, as underclassmen last year, played significant minutes and got great experience and baptism by fire, if you will. And I think they all come back. They enjoy banging against each other every day. We do feel confident about all three of them, and they give us pretty good depth up front. And, you know, the bigger guys are going to take a little longer to get in shape. So I'm thankful that we have, you know, all three of them. But, you know, so far they've had a pretty good approach to coming back. And I would say that all of them look like they're improved players from where they were a year ago.
That's good to see. Two newcomers that are true freshmen, Monty Bowser, young man from Bishop O'Dowd. You've done a pretty good job recruiting that school in the short period of time that you've been at Cal. And Jalen Celestine, a young man from back east, had an injury last year limited to what he could do as a high school player, but you got Monty and Jalen. Do you see those guys being ready to go contributors, or are they a little bit further behind?
Well, both of them would have really benefited from a summer, you know, as freshmen. I mean, we talk about the sophomores having missed out on a very important offseason. Those freshmen missed out on any indoctrination in the offseason that they normally would have gotten. So I would say that both of them, you know, their inexperience shows. Their talent also shows at times. And, you know, fortunately for them, they have some pretty good examples to learn from. That's one thing that I've really talked with our returning players about, is that I'm not sure that they had great examples to learn from before I came, an upperclassman that could show them the way. But, you know, Matt Bradley and Ryan Bentley are older guys, and Jalen and Monty can learn from these guys. And I think that they're getting good leadership, but they both have ability. And I think that you'll see them both impact our team and our season at some point, maybe early. We'll just see how the games go if we can, you know, be lucky enough to get there.
Exactly. Signed three recruits a week or so ago, and we're seeing kind of a theme in your recruiting so far, at least the players that you signed. You got Monty Bowser as a wing. You got Jalen Celestine, a wing. Marcellus Roberson from Bishop O'Dowd, 6'5". Sam Alaki from Ireland. He's playing high school basketball back east, 6'7". Obina and Wahoo, 6'7". You're getting bigger on the wings, it looks like. I mean, all of these guys, 6'4 to 6'7". Is that something you felt you had to do, or just the guys that were available and you were able to recruit just happened to fit that mold?
Well, you know, you saw every game last year, Todd, and you walk out there and when the other team has bigger players at every position than we do, and we had to get longer, and we have to, you know, the game ultimately is becoming a game where you play one big player and then four interchangeable parts around them. But your interchangeable parts have to be big enough to switch, have to be big enough to rebound, and be thick enough to be physical and we just were so small, you know, and we're not that a lot bigger this year. We're a little bigger than we were a year ago, but we ultimately have to become, you know, physically a high major team too. And so getting legitimately sized wing players, because you're going to play almost three of them at a time, you know, we really needed to load up on those guys. And I think we've been able to do that. And as they grow, you'll see great versatility and a lot of combinations, and it'll allow us to be, I think, hopefully aggressive and interchangeable in how we play.
Yeah, and also helps in practice too, when you got guys that are battling guys the same size, length, et cetera. It makes it more challenging to score on. And by the same token, you just have that versatility that you were talking about. Well, Mark, we appreciate you taking the time. You're probably going to waiting for another phone call on a scheduling thing or something else. I know it's been a hectic time for you, but we appreciate you taking the time to be with us this week. And have a good Thanksgiving, even though it's going to be on the road. Safe travels, I guess, more than anything else these days, because that's going to be a challenge as well. And we'll talk to you down the road as well.
All right. Thank you, and happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Go Bears.
All right. Head coach Mark Fox. That wraps it up for this week. I want to wish everybody a great Thanksgiving and a safe Thanksgiving weekend. And hopefully you'll be able to join us on the broadcasts this week. We've got football, the big game scheduled for Friday on the air at 12:30 with the tailgate show, and then 1:35 the big game, the Bears against the Stanford Cardinal at 1:35 or so on Friday afternoon. Thanks to Coach Wilcox and Coach Fox for being with us. I'm Todd McKim, and as always, go Bears.
This has been Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics, with your host Todd McKim. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.